We've been talking about living a devoted life. Our key scripture is Acts chapter 6, verse 4. This was the apostles after Jesus was resurrected. It says, but we will continue to devote ourselves steadfastly to prayer and the ministry of the word. I'm asking you for these days, I'm asking you really for the rest of your life, but highlighted right now that you would extra devote yourself to prayer and the ministry of the word, letting the word wash over you with healing, with deliverance, with salvation, with God's will and purpose for your life. Read more, get in the word, get it with God, get with a prayer group, get in a small group, get with some people and just say, hey man, can you pray for me? Can you pray with me? I'm going through some stuff. They devoted themselves steadfastly. That's the key, steadfastly. It wasn't in and out, up and down, steadfastness to prayer and the ministry of the word. Devoted means you're loyal. You're dedicated to someone or something. You're loyal. You're dedicated to someone or something. So no judgment. Again, we don't do that around here, but just ask yourself this question. This is you and Jesus right now. Is this me? Is this me right now? Am I devoted to the word? Am I devoted to prayer? Am I devoted to God? Am I devoted to God? Do you have all of me? Am I holding back something from you? Let me encourage you and let me just say this to you. I give you permission to be more devoted. Change, this is all I'll do, or this is as far as I'll go. Quit setting the bar so low in your walk. Set the bar high. Bars are meant to be broken. Set the bar high. Demand you grow spiritually. Demand it. Let me just say this. I think I put it on the screen there. Your commitment to Christ demands that you be contagious. These are the kind of people you want to be around. People you want to be around are contagious. They get around, they got fire in them, and you just get a little hot being around them. No one wants to be around cold people. Come on, withered people, nasty people, bitter people, ugly people, frustrated all the time, critical all the time. Who wants to be around that kind of person? And yet you do know there are churches filled with these kind of people. Let it not be you, but come on, be the kind of person that your commitment to Christ is just coming out of you and it's demanding of you that I just be a contagious kind of Christian. Amen. Full of salt, full of light. And how do we do that? Listen, how do we do that? We get in the word, we get into prayer, we fast, we pray, we serve, we give. This is how this happens. Listen, we delight in God and the delighting in God that he has for us to do is not a burden. It's not a burden. Man, it's not a burden. Hebrews 11, verse 6 says this, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. For who comes to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of those who, come on, finish it, diligently seek him. Notice that he's a rewarder of not just those, this scripture says, that seek him. I mean, that is true. But whoever wrote Hebrews says this, diligently seek him. So there's got to be a diligence in us to push things aside and to press in with God. We said this last week that Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6 that when we fast, when we pray, when we give, and we do it in secret, God's gonna reward us openly. It's very interesting, those three things. We fast, we pray, we give in secret, he's gonna reward us openly. So diligently seeking God from Hebrews 11, 6 must include fasting. If he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, and if I seek him in fasting, he's going to reward me openly, then fasting is required of me on a regular basis, on a regular basis. I know people that get into routines and they'll fast once a week, certain meals. Listen to me, I'm encouraging you. I give you permission to raise the bar in your spirituality. I give you permission to get off your daily devo of one scripture and one little thing and read a chapter a day. I give you permission to get involved and to serve here in the church and just don't be a sitter, but be a server. I give you permission to stretch this year with your giving and not just be a tipper, but be a tither. We said this during prayer, that the motto of a Welsh revival that happened 100 years ago or so was this: bend the church and save the people. That when the church was bent down on their knees, humbled before God, contrite heart before God, all of a sudden, supernatural things just started happening. People got saved. There's a revival that broke out in Wales, and then it spread to England. It spread to Scotland just because people started gathering, seeking God. Some of the testimonies that they said in these communities was that bars and clubs and theaters and football matches were deserted. The bars and the clubs, they all closed. There wasn't anybody going there anymore. Men and women, men mainly in that culture that got saved, they were no longer going to the bars, no longer going to the clubs. There weren't people playing football. It all shut down. Crime rates and other social problems, they said were decreased. Jails and courts, they said, the testimony, were deserted. There wasn't anybody that had to prosecute anymore. Over 100,000 people in that revival got saved. And eventually it spread to other parts of England, and it spread to the United States as well. Let me tell you what happens when people fast and when people pray. All kinds of things God wants to do start happening in our lives. Come on, everybody. Come on, clap your hands right there, will you? Come on. We need to pray. Come on, we need to pray. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, there was a movie that just came out called by his last name, Bonhoeffer. He's a German man. In his book called The Cost of Discipleship, he said this: Jesus takes it for granted that his disciples will observe the pious custom of fasting. He just takes it for granted. Strict exercise of self-control is an essential feature in the Christian life. Again, strict exercise of self-control. I'm gonna control myself from some food right now, and I'm gonna press in with God. I'm gonna control myself some comforts that aren't necessarily sin, but they could be weights in my life. Come on, I mean, I got, you know, about I don't know, 2 or 3 months ago, Kimberly and I were looking for a TV show, and she found something, and I don't do really TV shows. I do sports. I really don't do TV shows, but she found something, and she said, I think you're going to like it. I binged it. So I'm still under construction. So listen to me. I ain't talking down to you. I'm talking with you up in here. Come on, everybody. So needing some self-control, and so fasting is just separating some things from my life, and it's going to separate some things from your life that you say, I want you more than that. I want you more than my necessary food. I want you more than my donut. Come on, somebody. That hit a nerve. I know that hit a nerve right there. Man. Romans 12, 1. Look on the screen. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Come on, somebody say a living sacrifice. Living sacrifice. Notice this. What kind of sacrifice? A living sacrifice. What's your body going to look like? Holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service or spiritual worship. So presenting your body as a living sacrifice would include fasting. We would say, we would just say this way, it's body worship, not worshiping your body. It's using my body to worship God. Just the action of fasting is worship to God. Denying my body food, denying my body pleasure, one meal a day, or cutting back, or, you know, I'm gonna do a Daniel fast. The Daniel fast, 21 days. I'm not gonna eat, you know, a bunch of sweet stuff and all that kind of stuff, meats and stuff I want. And I'm gonna pull aside with some vegetables and fruit and nuts and all that kind of stuff. Maybe you can't do it for 21 days. Can you do it for the next three? Can you say no pizza for the next 3 days? Come on. Can y'all say no tortilla for the next 3 days? Oh, I knew I was going to hit one somewhere. Come on, I knew I was going to hit something up in here. Oh, we in the South Bay. Let's go. Next week at church, there's three people. Come on, help me, Lord. Nah, we don't judge nobody. But what can you do? What can you do that's denying your body? What means something to you? What matters? What matters? Cocoa Puffs? Frosted Flakes? Ice cream? Look on the screen. Your prayers and your fastings of today are setting you up in 2025 for your breakthroughs of tomorrow. I believe with all my heart. Come on, what would happen if God just says, you know what, if you just set aside and just come to me and seek me and pray with me with all your heart, you just deny your body a little bit, press in wherever you're at in your spiritual growth and development, press in, and because I got some breakthroughs for you this year. Come on, we're going to cooperate with God. Come on, anybody going to want to cooperate with God a little bit more? I do. Come on, I want to cooperate with God. Whatever you got for me, I want to give to you. There's a pastor and an author and a speaker, and his name's John Piper. Look at this on the screen. Next five slides, hold on to your green chair. You might want to fall out after we read this, but look what it says. John Piper said, many times we don't fast because we've lost our spiritual appetite. I just lost my spiritual appetite. I'm just not hungry anymore. I'm okay. Got a beautiful wife of 40 years, got 4 great kids, 6 great grandkids, got an amazing church. I live in Southern California. This, listen to me, this is my dream. It's my dream. The scripture in the Old Testament talks about a priest, and his name was Eli. And Eli had 2 sons that were whoring in the temple with the prostitute women. He was so far away from God, he did nothing about it. And yet God had ordained that a man, a young boy, be born from Hannah named Samuel. And he was given by his mom to be in the temple. He was going to be the next prophet. And yet God put him in an ungodly environment for a season. God started speaking to Samuel at night, a young boy. We don't know how young. And he heard God's voice, but he thought it was a human voice. So he ran to Eli and he said, did you call me? And he said, no, go back to sleep. The voice came again. It was God talking to him. Samuel. Because he had not discerned God's voice yet at a young age. And the third time, Eli said, it's God. Took him 3 times. It's God. And he cried, I told him, he said, the next time it comes, the 4th time, say, here I am, Lord, speak to me. And when he did that, God began speaking to him. Listen, what happened later was that because of the son's rebellion, all hell broke out in the nation, and those 2 boys were killed. And when Eli heard that they were killed, he fell back on his chair and he died. The scripture says his eyes were blinded, not because of the fall, but before the fall. He could not see physically. It was a spiritual example of what was happening in the nation and happening in him. He once was hot. He no longer was hot. And when you're no longer hot, you can no longer see. Many times we don't fast because we just lost our appetite. We want to pray. We want to fast. The absence of fasting is the measure of our contentment with the absence of Christ. If we don't feel strong desires for the manifestation of the glory of God, it's not because we've drunk deeply. It's not because we've drunk deeply and are satisfied. It's because we've nibbled so long at the table of the world that our soul is stuffed with small things and there's no more room for the great. I'm okay. I mean, dear Lord, again, I live in Southern California. It's 70 degrees out. I don't live in Iowa. They need God in Iowa. It's freezing. It's awful. I'm okay. I got a car. I got a couple cars. I got some money in my pocket. Our soul is stuffed with small things and there's no more room for the great. What happened if this year God did something great in your life and it all hinged on you giving him a great portion of the beginning of your year with prayer and fasting? I believe it's happening right now. Someone said this, fasting is the pleasant path of pain. Notice those words. The pleasant path of pain. Denying myself physically so I can press in spiritually and receive more of the glory of God in my life. Oral Roberts, who built the City of Faith and built most of, you know, Oral Roberts University in Tulsa, Oklahoma, he said this: I pray with fasting when I don't sense the bridegroom's presence in my life. We read this last week. The bridegroom is Jesus. We're the bride. He's the groom. And he said, I pray with fasting when I don't sense the presence of the bridegroom in my life. Jesus said, you know, the religious people came to Jesus and the disciples said, how come John the Baptist guy's fasting? Y'all don't fast. And Jesus said, oh man, when I'm taken out of here, they're going to fast in those days. But I'm with them right now. When you're not feeling or sensing that you're with him, the antidote isn't to say God doesn't love me. Isn't it to say he must be mad at me? You know what the antidote is? Fast and pray. And stir up the gift of God, the grace of God, again in your life. Let's look at some examples in the Bible of when or why people prayed with fasting. Get ready. Number one, they did it because they needed to repent. They repented of areas of sin in their life, needed confession, remorse, forgiveness. So whenever I know I need to repent, I'm in the middle of something, and I know I'm in the middle of something, and I want to get out of the thing that I'm in, what is the antidote? Fast and pray and seek God first. Get some natural help. Get some accountability partners, a brother, a sister. Come and talk to leadership. Come and talk to a small group. Whatever you need to do, do. But the first thing you do is you repent of your sin. And you get with God. When Jonah the prophet came to Nineveh, if you know the story, he proclaimed God's judgment on them. And look what it says there when he proclaimed God's judgment on them in Jonah chapter 3, verse 5. The people of Nineveh believed what Jonah said, and they proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth. This is the action of fasting and mourning. From the greatest to the least of them. And the word of God came to the king of Nineveh, and he rose from his throne and laid aside his robe, covered himself with sackcloth and sat in ashes. The king did. And he caused it be proclaimed and published throughout all Nineveh. A decree from the king and his nobles saying, let neither man nor beast. Listen, we got the animals involved up in here. Man or beast or herd or flock taste anything. Don't let them eat anything. Don't even let them drink water. That's how serious this is. Let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily to God, and let everyone turn from his evil way, from his violence that's in his hands. Who can tell if God will turn and relent and turn away his fierce anger that we may not perish? And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God relented from the disaster that he said he'd bring upon them and did not do it. Their actions of repentance were indicative of the heart. These people weren't even, we would call them believers or Christian. They weren't God followers. They actually were killing those folks. That's why Jonah didn't want to go. Yet because of their heart towards God in repentance, because of sin in their heart against God's people, hearing the word they heard, God relented from bringing disaster in their life. Again, fasting is a sign of mourning, of sorrow, of humility, of displeasure with your own life and the sin maybe. Listen to me. Maybe you're here this morning and you're in a lifestyle or a living a life you shouldn't be living. Listen to me. You need to fast and pray and break that from your life and to be who God's called you to be. Joel 2:12 says this, now therefore, says the Lord, turn to me with all your heart, all your heart. How do you turn? All your heart. What's it look like? Fasting, weeping, and mourning. When's the last time you fasted and prayed and repented and asked God to break strongholds in your life or sin in your life or lust or grievances or wrong habits, wrong desires, addictions? I'm always needing approval. My dad never approved of me. Never said I'm doing a good job, so I'm sucking that out of every relationship. How about you fast and you pray? Got pride in my life. Fasting, praying, breaking it. This is what being devoted to God looks like. Number two, we fast and we pray. Examples. Some of you in the room to prepare for God's calling. I sense this so strongly this past week for some of you in the room. To prepare for God's calling. I believe that God's calling a lot of you in the room up to a higher place. You sense that God's asking more of you, what you need to do, even as us corporately, and come on out on Monday and Tuesday, the next 3 days, 3.5 days, is you need to add fasting to your prayer. God's asking more for you. You can't figure it out. I'll talk more about this toward the end of the message, but Jesus fasted and prayed for 40 days to seek God's will concerning his natural assignment on the earth. He went into the wilderness, the scripture says, to be alone with God, and he was tempted. We know that, but he overcame that temptation. Look on the screen. Prayer and fasting was the preparatory work for the power of God in Jesus' ministry. Prayer and fasting will be the preparation for God bringing you up into a new calling. Listen to me. God doesn't ever want any of us to stay the same. Don't discount your age. Don't discount your race. Don't discount what you know of God or don't know of God or the Bible or you don't. Just say, I'm going to start fasting. I'm going to seek God. I believe God wants to use me in a powerful way in this generation. I want to prepare even more in 2025 for the call of God on my life. Acts 13, verse 2 and 3, the disciples knew this. It says, as they ministered to the Lord, they worshiped the Lord, they were singing songs to the Lord and fasted. Notice that? They ministered to the Lord and fasted. The Holy Spirit said, through prophecy, through one of these brothers, there was five brothers there. They said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work to which I have called them. I've already called them. Now there's going to be a separation time. Then it says, verse 3, then having fasted and prayed, they laid hands on them and sent them away. So they came into this event fasting and praying. And then there was a prophetic word. There was a word given, separate these brothers for the work I've called them. And you know what they did? They just didn't do nothing. They said, we're going to go back to fasting and praying about the word that we just heard. And then they laid hands on them and sent them away. So listen to me. This year, so many of you in the room, I believe with all my heart, is that fasting is preparing you for the work God's ordained you for. It's preparing you. It's preparing you. It's not a time of decrease. It's a time of increase. Come on, everybody. It's a time of increase. Young people, fast, pray, seek God these next 3.5 days. Old people, whoever that is, fast, pray, seek God. These next 3.5 days, we see another area why people fasted and prayed. It's to worship and serve God. This is part of our devotion to Him, worship and serving God. Anna was a prophetess who was 84 years old. And the scripture says she didn't depart from the temple, but was there day and night, fasting and praying. It says in Luke 2, verse 37, she served God. Notice the words. Interesting. But she served God with fastings and prayers night and day. Listen to me. Before you go through the day, you got to get through the night. She served God with fastings and prayers. Notice that? Served God. I thought if I serve God, I'm going to teach kids, I'm going to sing, I'm going to preach, I'm going to do technical stuff in the back. I thought I'm going to be usher, I thought I'm going to be a greeter. That's serving God, but she served God with fastings. As you fast, you are serving God. Serving God with fastings and with prayers. Serve means to minister. Serve means to worship. And if you know the story, it's really quite amazing that the scripture says here was a woman who was 84 years old. 84. In that time, that generation, she's old. There's not medicine like now. She's 84. Her husband had been dead after 7 years of marriage. Her husband died. She's a widow for all those years. And she just said, I'm going to set my heart to seek God. I can't provide for myself. I can't plant. I'm going to seek God with prayers and fastings. I'm going to give myself to this. Do you know what happened? The Bible says that Mary and Joseph came into the temple that day, 8 days after he was born, for him to be circumcised. And she was there. She saw Jesus physically. Listen to me. Prayer will let you see things with fasting that you could never see. Prayer and fasting will put you at the right time and at the right place. Can somebody say amen, amen, amen? Fourthly, Why do we do this? We do this to ask wisdom, knowledge, or discernment. You need wisdom, you need knowledge, you need discernment. You're in the middle of a situation that I don't know exactly what I need to do, how I'm going to do this, how I'm going to accomplish this. Here's what it says in Acts chapter 14, verse 23. Paul and Barnabas appointed elders for them in each church, and they did it with prayer and fasting. And they committed them to the Lord in whom they put their trust. So before we're going to appoint somebody, before we're going to choose somebody for a ministry job, before we're going to do it, we're going to pray, we're going to fast. Lord, who are you saying to be good at this job? What are you saying about this? I just don't want to get my mind involved. I don't want to remember where David and his brothers, when Samuel came to anoint the next king, and Eliab and all those brothers came out before David, and 6'4", strapping, and God, and Samuel looked at him on the outside and said, surely this is the Lord's anointed. And God said, that's not the one. Man looks at the outside. Come on, help me. God looks at the inside. Prayer and fasting will allow you to see the inside of a thing, not just the outside. That's discernment. That's wisdom. That's knowledge from God. They did this, or they didn't do this. They didn't appoint these people without prayer and without fasting. Well, what's that mean to you? You're not in the ministry. You're not choosing anybody to serve and be an usher or be a small group leader. But how about you young folks? Who should I date? Should I date this girl? Oh, man, she's cute. She's hot. Woo! Look at those nails. Should I do it? As a business owner, should I hire this person? They got all the credentials, but you don't know they also got a cancerous spirit. I need to see not the outside. I got to see the inside. What career path should I be on? What job should I take? What house should I buy? I think it matters. Where should I live? Because you got me to be a blessing wherever I'm at. So it's not just about me. I'm asking for wisdom. I'm asking for knowledge. I'm asking for discernment. Come on, you guys are listening fast. We're getting through here. Listen, here's a good one. We'll talk just a second about it. I'll give you a personal example. When you need confidence about his will, you're afraid or you're uncertain. Let me set it up. Ezra chapter 8. Ezra was used by God to bring the people back out of exile from Babylon, coming back, used mightily with Nehemiah and Zerubbabel. And he told the king, he said, King, we got it all. We serve a mighty God. We serve a mighty God. We're all good. We don't need nothing. We don't need horses. We don't need armies. We're all good. God's protecting us. But then after he said that, like it's happened to you and like it's happened to me, you got a little nervy. I know what you said, but wow, I'm a little bit uncertain. I need some confidence here. Guess what he did? Look what he says. I proclaimed a fast there at the River Ahava, that we might humble ourselves before God to seek from him the right way for us to go for our little ones and all of our possessions. He said, I'd be ashamed to ask the king for these after we told him how great our God is. So what am I going to do? I'm in a time of uncertainty. I'm in a time that I need no confidence of God's will. Where do you want me to go? Where do you want me to work? What church do you want me to go to? Who do you want me to marry? I'm going to set aside time to fast and pray. And listen, if you're going to marry somebody, you need 40 days of prayer and fasting. Come on, somebody. Can I get an amen from all the elderly people, all the married people? I wish I would have fasted and prayed. Hey, if you're under demonic attack, what are you going to do? Come on, what are you going to do? 2 Chronicles 20, verse 2. Some came to Jehoshaphat and said, a great multitude's coming against you from beyond the sea. And Joshua feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast through all Judah. He didn't get out of the military, guys. He didn't gather all his resources. What are we going to do? Get the team together. Let's come up with a plan. We're going to attack. They're trying to do a hostile takeover. Or this is coming against our family. No, we're going to do. We're going to batten down the hatches. We're not going to go outside. We're going to shut all the screens. No, we're going to do. We're going to fast and pray. Amen. So Judah gathered together, verse 4, to ask help from the Lord. And with all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. We seek the Lord with prayer. We seek the Lord with fasting. And if you know the story, the Bible says that God went before them, heard them, and defeated their enemies for them. They were 4 days gathering all the spoil of the enemy. Come on, what would happen this year if you just set your heart to seek God, fast and pray, that God says, I got some blessings for you at the end of that fasting and that prayer. Come on, everybody. Clap your hands, all you people. Come on, God fought for him. Come on, God fought for him. Come on, God's going to fight for you this year. Come on, God's going to fight for you this year. Come on, God's going to fight for you this year. Come on, God's fighting for you this year. This word's true. Last thing. Gosh, we got done. I don't know if we get done. Last thing. I'll talk for just a moment. Why do you need to fast and pray? When you sense change is coming. When you sense change is coming. You just sense God's wanting to do something with you and you can't maybe quite figure it out. Career change. Schooling change. God's doing, maybe you're, I don't want to say this negatively, so listen to me. Maybe you're in the wrong church and you're here this morning, you just go, man, I need to be in this church. You're somewhere, you're not doing what God's called you to do. You feel that you might be equipped, but you believe God's wanting to do something more in your life. It's you know something on the inside, but you just can't put your finger on it. You can't figure it out yet. The Bible says about Daniel in Daniel chapter 9 that Daniel understood by the books, this is the scrolls, the number of years specified by the word of the Lord, that Jeremiah, the prophet, that he had said that he would accomplish after 70 years. This is that Babylonian captivity after 70 years. Daniel reads this and he says, what Jeremiah said, this is the time. This is the time. This is the season that God's going to release the people. And so he says, I set my face towards God to make request by prayer and supplication. That's the continued prayer with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. I got down. I was mourning. I put this on me. I can sense something's coming, but I don't know exactly when. So what did he do? Well, maybe that was just the taco I had last week. Maybe that was just, you know, No. I got something in me. I got more in me. And this just isn't it. Living, existing, going through life, crazy friends, drama all the time. Lord God, I sense you want to change me. The change is coming. So what am I going to do? I'm going to set myself aside to pray with fasting. Because as Daniel prayed with fasting, God sent an angel to him and talked to him about what was happening and what was coming. Before we came here, we've been here since 2001, so this is our 20 coming on July will be 24 years that we've been in San Diego. We pastored a church in British Columbia, Canada, a little town, 7,000, 8,000 people in Canada for 13 years. I was just a kid, 28 years old, went up there. They told us that we'll pay you $500 a month. And Kimber and I went up there, had a 14-month-old, 16-month-old son, and Kimberly's pregnant with Brittany, 6 months old. And we went up there on the promise of nothing. We had faith. Come on, we're going to charge hell with a squirt gun. Come on, somebody, say amen. Come on, this year God's going to ask you to live by faith. Come on, everybody. Come on, everybody. And after 10 years that we were there, all of a sudden, it was like, this isn't it. We love everybody. We love Canada. We love where we're at. But God's asking us for something more. And so listen to me, month after month, months after months, this went on for 3 years that we fasted, we prayed, we sought God. God, you got to show us. I don't know what you're doing. I don't know what you're asking. I can't figure it out. And then God just put a dream in our heart to be down here in Southern California, to be here. And listen to me, I'm telling you, change is coming for a lot of you in the room, and God's asking you to give yourself to prayer and fasting because he wants your life to be more than it currently is right now. And as you yield yourself to that, as you yield yourself to just a spirit of prayer, a time of day, in the morning, give him a little bit more. In the evening, give him a little bit more. At lunchtime, if you got that opportunity, give him a little bit more. Just say, God, if this is you, I want to be prepared even more for the call you have on my life. And I'm yielding myself, and prayer and fasting is preparing me for what you have for me in 2025. I want my family to be different. I want my life to be different. I want what you're using me to be different. I'm not going to discount myself. I'm going to raise the bar. I've received permission to go beyond, to be more devoted, because I want to see your kingdom come, your will be done on earth in Chula Vista or your city as it is in heaven. Can I get an amen in the room? Come on, clap your hands, all you people. Come on, clap a little louder. Come on, everybody. Stand with me. Would you do it? Stand with me. Father God, we pray right now in Jesus' name. We pray that we would be people that would devote ourselves more and more to prayer and the ministry of the word. That we would be men and women who set aside time, not only right now during this season in January, but regularly, that we would hear a call, that we would hear a call, that we would hear the word of the Lord to draw near to you, O God. Young spiritually, like Samuel, where we'll begin to hear the voice of the Lord, we'll hear the voice of the written word, we'll hear the voice of the Father. Those that have heard before and yet it's been through hurt and through pain and maybe experienced all kinds of negative things through life circumstances and situations, Lord God, today's the day you're calling them again. And they're answering, here am I, speak to me, speak to me. We're not going to numb ourselves with the food of the world, with the culture. Make us more zealous for you, O God. Let what Isaiah said in Isaiah 31, let a fire and a furnace be in us and in our church, O God, that wards off every spirit of despair and darkness and complacency. Father, keep creating in us a clean heart. Keep renewing just a right spirit, a right soul within us, that we can worship you with purity and holiness and honor. Call us to a higher calling. Come on, all over the room with your head bowed, your eyes closed. Let me just do this. I sense this right now. Come on, all over the room. You just sense that God's asking more of you. You might not know exactly what it is, but you're just sensing, that's me. Man, God's asking more of me. I want to yield. I want to yield myself. I want to yield my life to more of him. Come on, right now, all over the room. Come on, just lift your hand. Say, that's me. That's me. I want to give more of myself. I want to give more of myself. Every hand that's raised, oh God, right now, I pray a special anointing and grace on the hearts of these here today. I pray, oh God, that there would be oil from heaven that would flow in a new way. They're not done. It's not over. The work you began, being confident of this very thing, that he that began a good work in you is going to perform it into the day of Jesus Christ. I pray for yielded hearts, yielded minds, wills, emotions, and even yielded bodies. We surrender to the Lord. We give ourselves afresh to you, oh God. Come on, let's pray it. Not my will. Come on, say it. Not my will. Not my will. Your will be done. Come on, your will. Not my will. Your will be done. In Jesus' name. Come on, bow your head one more time. Close your eyes. I want to pray for anybody in the room that doesn't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You've been here. Maybe this is your first time here. Maybe you've been here for months, but you've never made a proclamation asking Jesus to be the Lord of your life. The way he comes in is by you asking him. He's giving you a free will. You can accept him or reject him. You can spend eternity with him or eternity away from him in a place called hell. I believe that what the Bible says. Place of torment, place of flames, place where you're never satisfied forever and ever. God, how awful. God doesn't want that for any of us. This isn't fear tactics. This is just reality. Reality. God says, will you come to me? I've got only goodness for you. I've got grace for you. I've got a great life for you. It won't make sense at times to your natural mind, and there'll be sacrifice along the way and things that you don't understand. But as you obey me, As you seek me, it's all going to work out. So if you're here today and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, we want to pray for you. If you're here today and you once were hot, but now in your heart you just say, I'm lukewarm at best, or I'm cold, I'm indifferent. God's calling you. He wants you. All over the room. Come on, when I count to three, this is your chance. You just lift your hand and say, pray for me, Pastor Gary. We're going to say a prayer out loud. You won't be by yourself. We're all going to pray out loud. And there's going to be a spiritual transaction that happens from heaven to your heart called the gift of salvation. All over the room. Come on, you want to be saved. You want to know Jesus again. Come on, one, two, three. Come on, lift up your hand. All in the room. Come on, lift up your hand. Come on, one, two, three. Awesome. Come on, one. Come on, two, three, four. Anybody else want to look one more time? Five. Come on, awesome. Six.